Amen. Tell your neighbor by your left and right hand, I said, the person, you are welcome to service. Ask one of your neighbors, have you been blessed this past 31 days? Tell the person, share with me in 30 seconds. Share with me. You are telling the person you are removing your face here. Is it tongues you are sharing? Mama, fire day too much. Oh. Somebody like texting, huh? Make you not share anything with you. You go collect the one where you get. But I think you can share with water. Water get excess. Don't bring this guy beside you. He came. I think he's living in this town. Where do you come from? Benin. So he came from like you from Ghana. I don't mind the guy. The guy is enjoying. Highest in transport fare from here to Benin is 1.5. How much? 900. Is 900. To Benin here, where we say if you shout, they go hear you. Benin now 2 hours, 30 minutes now. No be so. How did he now become 3.5? You have not joined us for the sacrificial pledge. Raise your hand, raise your hand. The pledge we met some days ago, raise your hand. You did not join us. Raise your hand, raise your hand. I will not kill you, just to know. Raise your hand, whether it is necessary for me to raise it well now. There's nobody, we are plenty. You have not joined us online. We are making a pledge for our land, sacrificial. And from the feedback I'm getting, several people they tried. So if you sacrifice and you have not redeemed it, you should. If you sacrifice and you didn't write your name, please do, and your phone number. If you have not, it's not just that you say you want to give us something, we want you to sacrifice. We are looking at several hundreds of millions, and you know that. Let's say the truth. 1,000 might not be enough to transport us to the land. Talk more of paying for it. What do you think? I'm just suggesting, but I think it might not be enough. Dr. Samuel, pull that thing up so that it can be touching the congregation. I will not say it next time. I will put it off. Every day I'll be saying the same thing. Amen. Why are you there? You are enjoying. If you say you are not enjoying, go and sit here. Huh? I know what I'm saying. Somebody like Ikebuono has balance. Huh? You are not enjoying it. Okay, so tomorrow we'll move your stand. Romans chapter 8. Then we'll move to our teaching for today. I want to show you something. Let's start. Let me see verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body of sin is dead because of sin. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay? What is wrong with her? Huh? Find somebody with fire to remove it. Tell them, go and remove that thing wrong with that sister. Go outside, go and remove it. Amen. If you are with me, so pay attention. Are you with me? In 10 minutes, join me. We have a technically long study to do today. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Okay, next verse quickly. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up, are you seeing the scripture is progressing? He said, but if, somebody say if. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Next verse. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Considering this investment, he said, we are debtors. Debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Next verse. For if this man is giving you clear statements, he said, if you see what God has done by taking the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and putting it inside of you, he said, if that same spirit is in you, then it has the capacity to galvanize even your mortal bodies. One, he said, if it is true that the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can quicken even your mortal body, he said, on this account, you are a debtor. That means he's saying that God has given you what it takes to live a different kind of life. He said, if you live after the flesh, ye shall what? I didn't hear you. Ye shall what? Did he say you may die? He said, if you live, suggesting that you may or may not, but if you then live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. These people that is sitting here, why? All of you, move to this side. Move. Move. Mm-hmm. You stay now. You are part of media. Akobo, do you have a duty there? This AC will still be touching you people there. Is it not touching you, Jasper? Go to that AC. Take it off. The next time I'll put it off. You that is a member of technical unit. So that it will be touching others. Why are you putting it down and it's facing you? Amen. Amen. Okay, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, certainly. But if you through the spirit, remember, listen, the scripture suggested that the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has the capacity to walk around your body. Are you getting the point? Now, he now said that, but if you leave the walking of the Holy Spirit in your body and then decide to give yourself to the flesh, he said, if you leave after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. But if you take advantage of the Holy Spirit that can walk in the body, and by that Holy Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, what will happen? You will. Is she okay now? Somebody say fire is good, or
fire is good, or
just imagine you are the one teaching on that day, like Paul, and then you take us now fair. What will you do? Is it not to conduct burial? ask yourself, you as a person now, is it not to conduct burial? He said, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. My own is to teach. You think us will fall one day in your class. And I want to know what you will do. You will come and teach us and say it's the will of God. Is all these things people are saying, attributing several things to the will of God that is breeding atheists everywhere. We should accept that it's absence of what it takes to change things that is the problem. It is the will of God, is the will of God. Justice would have taught us is the will of God. Entered and taught us the mystery of how somebody can fall down and die while you are teaching. May we teach in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And may we raise the dead also.
Amen.
Actually, this scripture is about raising the dead. Do mortify, the person shall live. Next verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? You see how we are moving, step by step. You see the progression of the scripture. It's moving. It's moving. Now, he's saying, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's saying, if you follow the flesh, you die. But if you follow the Spirit, you live. Then as many people that have decided to remember, are you getting the point? He told you in the last verse actually what it means to follow the Spirit. So it means, he's saying the prerequisite to following the Spirit is mortifying the deeds of the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. This same power of the Holy Spirit is the same power that came into you to quicken your body. And that power that came into you that can quicken your body is the same power that raised Jesus from what? The dead. And he's making an argument. If that power can raise Jesus from the dead, it can work even in your mortal body. And when it works in your mortal body, assuming you allow it, it can mortify the deeds of the flesh. Consistent upon the work of the Holy Spirit to mortify the deeds of the flesh, you have come to a place where you can be what? Led by the same Spirit. So the leadings of the Holy Spirit is consistent upon a man that has died to the deeds of what? The flesh. And if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are, you know, sometimes people look at this scripture and I have seen somebody use another translation, and he meant another thing else. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, Spirit of all of them, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But remember how we came here. Next verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. You see, so if a man still lives in sin, it is suggesting that the spirit of bondage is still at work. But if a man indeed has received the Holy Spirit, he's saying, for ye have not. Now, the reason why he's making all this statement the way he's making it, he is suggestive of the fact that even though you have received something, we are seeing a different kind of possibilities in your life. And he's telling you that your challenge is that you have not taken advantage of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the context of mortifying the flesh. Are you getting the point? That if you have received the Spirit of Christ, the only thing you can, the Spirit of Christ produces in you is a cry of Abba Father. You see, this is the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption is the spirit of maturity, because it is the spirit that brings you to the place that you have the capacity to enter into God's ordination for your life. What is God's ordination for your life? It is when the Holy Spirit keeps leading you, you come daily. I'm going to a place. I'm here to teach you. There are two centralities in the scripture, nay, even three. And we hope that the Holy Spirit will open at least two of them. He has opened one for us. We hope that he will open the second one. Follow me. I want to do a build-up. In the next 10 minutes, this teaching will just do like this, boom, and change level. The reason why I'm starting like this is so that before you know it, you are part of the teaching. Once you enter the Spirit, we can climb high. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? A son. You better write it, the sons of God. It's still the same thing. It's the same emphasis. You can see the flow of logic. The flow of logic has already shown you the target. Okay, let me show you the flow of logic. Show us the last verse. The verse before now. The verse before this one. 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. This is the logic I want you to see. The logic is the logic of the sons of God. And there is a flow of argument that led us to this point. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Then go back to 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness. You will notice something here. That the Holy Spirit has a very enormous task. You see, as the day is passing, I am coming into the realization that we have not truly known the Holy Spirit. Several people that think they know the Holy Spirit, you don't know the Holy Spirit. Even the best of the best, and the best of the best probably in our generation, that is still alive. He might not be in context, a part of this generation of the move of God, but he's still in our generation alive. Can be somebody like Benny Hinn. The best of the best that he knows about the Holy Spirit is just a small dimension. And I'm saying it with all humility. Look at this scripture now. If you dig into what the Holy Spirit can do. Do you know that the holiness movement that taught about holiness is that holiness is actually the work of the Holy Spirit? Anyway, you already know that he is Holy what? Spirit. The job of the Holy Spirit is too much. Do you know that when a man gets born again, that is the job of the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying the active work of regeneration. I'm talking about putting pressure on you to make a decision for Jesus. Who is putting pressure on you? Do you know that the work of transformation is the Holy Spirit's own? Then there is healing of your body. There is many things. What I'm trying to say is, everything that God wants to achieve, the active dimension of its accomplishment is left to the Holy Spirit and his ministry. So if you know the Spirit in this dimension, that work will be activated. Even in the days that you said that is the word of God, when you listen, the word of God changes us, the word of God works. I put it to you that the word of God works because the Holy Spirit is working. If you remove the Holy Spirit, what you are encountering is letter. And the letter what? Kill it. I put it to you that the letter kill it. The Jesus was himself was the one that made a profound statement. He said that the words I speak to you, that what? Spirit and life. Now, but you are saying the word. Jesus is telling you that the real word that has capacity to work is what? Spirit. We are able ministers of God, not of the letter that killeth, but of the Spirit. The letter kills. The letter what? Kills. The word of God devoid of the Spirit is simply letter. It can never produce any life. And if there is no, the opposite of life is what? Death. And there are many deaths. I've taught you people. So look at this. The Spirit comes here. You see the progression of logic and argument. The Spirit now is now bearing witness with our spirit. The reason why the Spirit can bear witness is because there is an expectation of God from our life. And it is on the basis of that expectation that God made an investment of his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. It is an exact thing, but it is also a progressive thing. And that is why the word of God said, and as many as are led. Are you seeing it? So there is consistent investment of God
And this is via the ministry of the Holy Spirit, bringing us into the exact experience of what God has ordained for us. The ordination of God is adoption of sons. Are you getting it? It is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us into that thing. And as you are walking with God, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to your walk with him as per the things that is needed to bring you into sonship. Remember the Bible said, as many as are led, they are what? Sons. That process of bringing you into adoption is what is adoption. I've taught you. It is the placement of sons. Are you getting it? There is a chikaike sized space in God's eternal construction. Nobody can feel it. Are you getting the point? Unfortunately, if you don't meet up to adoption, and the quota it takes to meet up to adoption is what is called perfection or maturity. And I taught you people that maturity in eternal context is not something. Perfection in eternal context, perfect in eternal. Please pay attention to the word perfect and mature, especially perfect. It is the most important word for you. If you remove the word perfect, it is not a temporal word, it's an eternal word. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. If you view the word perfect as an eternal, as a temporal word, the only way you can explain it is with human word, and the expectation from its explanation is sinlessness. Now, sinlessness is okay, but that's not what God is talking about. Because when you were born again, you are actually sinless. It is you that decided not to be sinless by the next action you took. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you got born again, the work of Christ in your life was completely perfect. There is no need for addition. It is you that now entered pornography again. Are you getting the point? That's the whole essence of what we're saying. See, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you, it can keep you perpetually on the path of sonship, needing not to be involved in anything of the flesh. But he said, if you follow the flesh, you will what? Die. But if you now decide to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will become a son. You will be brought into adoption. And the consistent cry of the spirit that brings men into adoption is Abba Father. Abba Father. You are joining. Abba Father. And that Abba Father cry that is coming from your spirit is a combined work. The Holy Spirit is working, but your spirit is now alive. And the Holy Spirit working will be checking things from Christ. And then he'll be saying, this one is good. He bears witness to it. And your spirit now that has been weaned from the activity and the deeds of the flesh can also bear witness, even as the Holy Spirit is bearing witness and say, this is part of what is needed in my cry. So you wake up in the morning and you look at your food and you say, this food, are you crying Abba Father today? Are you getting it? So because when people leave this kitchen, they say, Abba, my father, Abba, my father, Abba. No, the target is not, Abba Father is not the end. Abba Father is for a purpose. Abba Father is to bring men into the full stature of their sonship. God gave you the spirit that can cry Abba Father, so that daily that spirit keeps crying. When you wake up in the morning, Abba Father will ring in your heart. It brings a fresh hunger to you. Sometimes when Abba Father cries in your heart, you will decide not to eat today. That is the basis of fasting. That is the basis of Bible study. When a man sits on a seat and studies his Bible for 3 hours, it is not normal. It is Abba Father crying. The spirit with your spirit is bare. Abba Father cries. And we know that today a journey must be engaged, and it is a journey towards what? Sonship. The reason why you are journeying towards sonship is because there is a cry, Abba Father. There is a cry. And if Father cries, sons will rise. Is it not true? The cry, the desire of the Father is so that sons will rise. And because of that, the spirit within you will keep crying, Father. Because if you ever hear Father, the son in you will rise up. Are you getting the point? So it's a very tough project for the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit comes and in conjunction with your spirit that you have decided to allow to die, or rather that you have allowed to be alive and alive to the Holy Spirit, which is not possible according to where we read, except you have mortified the deeds of the body. Is it not true? When you mortify the deeds of the body by the help of the Holy Spirit, your spirit can be bearing the same witness that the Holy Spirit is bearing. Are you getting the point? For you have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption is the spirit of perfection. The spirit of perfection is the spirit of maturity. The spirit of maturity is the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of sonship. The spirit of sonship is the spirit of responsibility, is the spirit of government. The spirit of government is the spirit of the kingdom. And what the Father does is to delegate authority to sons and tell them to rule. Unfortunately, you will never come to the place of rulership until you submit to the cry, Abba Father. How can a man say he is a son when he doesn't hear the cry? You don't hear the cry. You wake up in the night, you sleep through the night, you wake up in the morning, you say, my father is Abba. You don't know this scripture. This scripture is a cry. It's a call on sons to rise. Are you getting the point? Whereas your neighbor doesn't hear the cry, in the midnight, the cry will ring. Where are sons? Abba. Abba himself will lift up a cry by his spirit. Meanwhile, you have the same spirit. Your spirit will become restless. Why? Why is your spirit restless? Abba is crying. That thing you are thinking is ministry is not first of all ministry. It was Abba crying. And Abba never cried until his spirit entered you. It is by his spirit that he kept crying. Your consistent response to the cry of the spirit. Remember, what the Father did was to give you his spirit. And the cry of the spirit in your heart, I feel. I don't want to tell you what I feel now. But where I am now, I'm standing in an office to teach this class now. You better listen to me. There are several locations that you can stand to teach. You can stand in the office of the teacher to teach, in the office of the pastor to teach. You can stand in the office of the apostle to teach. They are not the same thing. Perspective, intent, energy, potency. Several things comes into view. Apostolicity is a whole different dimension. It gives a whole different dimension to any truth of the scripture. And I'm not saying that somebody cannot take this truth and minister it in a different way and it will bless you. It is apostolicity that is at work, that is bringing the same Abba Father that you probably have heard in another teaching, meaning another thing, meaning that Jesus is hugging you. Is it not what you have? Have you not heard a teaching about Abba Father? Abba, your father is Abba, my Abba. And when you heard it, are you with Amma? Have you not heard? You saw Jesus hugging you. When apostolicity comes, when a man hears the cry of Abba, what comes on him is, Lord, what do you want from me? What are you demanding from me? Are you getting it? That's what apostolicity brings to this teaching now. Because that's anytime Abba cries, sons awake. It is the awakening, the cry of the father awakening sonship in the heart of sons. And sonship is a cry of responsibility. When you come, you begin to ask the father, what is it? What does it take me to come to a deeper measure of responsibility? What does it take for government to rest more on my You are taking burdens. You are taking it. You are taking it. When the father cries, burden comes on your heart. When the father cries, hunger comes in your heart. When the father cries, responsibility comes. Can you hear the cry? The cry of the spirit. One of the books I read many years ago, I don't know really whether it's Smith Wigglesworth that wrote it. But they said he's the one that wrote it. The name of the book is The Cry of the Spirit. Somebody said The Cry of the Spirit. The Spirit does not, if we understand the real nature of the operation of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit does not minister things originally in his context. Are you getting the point? The Spirit ministers what is handed to him. So what you call the cry of the Spirit, anytime the Spirit cries in the context of maturity, in the context of adoption, in the context of perfection, in the context of becoming whom God ordained you to be, you see, that dimension is no more earthly. It is no more about how long you worked in civil service. Jesus, what is happening? I feel the ministry of the cherubs here. And I'm saying it with all humility. It seems as if their wings swung from heaven. Jesus Christ, my God. May God bring us into this truth. I pray with all my heart. Pray in tongues quietly for 1 minute. Lord, bring us into this mystery. Bring us into this truth. Bring us into this truth. Allow us, O God, by your mercy, to enter into your present revelational emphasis. Let the emphasis, the grace, the bodies be very strong in our heart. Let the encounters and the experiences thereof be ministered. Let the power therein become our possession. In Jesus' mighty name. But he have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. When I fast, I'm not proving a point. It is Abba that is crying in my heart. When I pray, that's what is driving me. Seeking power cannot be enough drive for you to seek God. It is because Abba is crying. And even if we come a day in this 50 days, and suddenly you are leading prayer, you don't have prayer point. Prayer point is not as important as the cry of the Abba. Do you know I can stand here and be praying? You will look at me and join me in the prayer without prayer point. Do you know why? The Abba that is crying in my heart has suddenly started crying in your own. And even when we say in Jesus' name we pray, they can end the prayer in the physical. But what is still happening? Abba is still crying. When you finish the teaching, this session, and you go back in the evening, you can't sleep through the night. Why? Abba. Whereby we cry. It is a witness that the Holy Spirit brings into our heart. Next verse. This is not even where I'm going. And if sons, then heirs of God, joined heirs with Christ. If so be, this is argument, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified what? Together. If you suffer together, you will be glorified what? What if you don't suffer together? No glory for the one that has not suffered. Next verse. For I reckon. Somebody say, for I account. The better word you will use there that can help you is for I account that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Where did Paul get his accounting degree? Justice. I want to go there and get my degree too. Because the school, they know how to teach people. I found out that my calculations, balancing the weight of my suffering on earth, the things I pass through. Because sometimes I can wake up and say, Omo, I don't pray. Omo, I don't pray. But you see, my, my school of accounting is different from Paul's school of accounting. Because if I go there, are you getting where I'm going? If you have ever gone to Paul's school of accounting, you can never wake up and say, I've prayed too much. Huh? I hear some people, they say, Nigeria, they pray. In Africa, they pray too much. In Africa, they pray too much. I don't know the school of accounting they went to. Paul said, for I reckon, I account that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Consistent with the revelation of the glory of God in your life, you have not done anything. Are you seeing it now? Your challenge is not that you have prayed or you have done anything. Your challenge is that you don't know how to do proper account. If you know how to do proper account, you wake up tomorrow morning and cry for grace. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to yield myself to the process that makes people to come to the place where they are deserving of being carriers of your glory. Paul, this is Paul. He said, I account that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. It's not if they compare them, it will behavior. He said, they are not, it is not a worthy comparison. Oh, Jesus. There is a glory coming. And some of us, God allows us in this age to have a foretaste of that glory that is coming. Next verse. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of what? The sons of God. You see where we enter. The sons of God must have mortified the deeds of the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. How dare somebody open his mouth and say he's a son of God and he is fornicating? You are just a crook. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. All these texts we have read from verse 1 to now, they are not different. It's a build-up. Are you getting the point? The man started from the point of the initial salvific work of Christ for your life. Huh? And said, there is no condemnation again. But he began to go. Even though there is no condemnation, yet you notice that there are several things that is working around your life to bring you back to who you are. If not in anything, in the way you used to act before. He said, but there is a possibility. There is something that God has created, has made available that you can take advantage of. He said, the Spirit. Somebody said, the Spirit. There is a particular spirit. He needed to explain to us the exact work of the Spirit, which looks impossible in human context, of course. But you cannot limit the Holy Ghost. He said, that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, that is the ultimate proof, at least within this range that we have seen so far, of the power of God being ever manifest, ever, at any time. It was manifest in Jesus being what? Raised from the dead. He said, if that same power that can raise Jesus from the dead is the one that is at work in you, you can't complain that lust is holding you. You can't come and say you can't pray. You can't say you can't fast. You can't say that greed. What is it that you are saying is too hard to stop when what is in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? Are you with me now? So he said, as we progressed, them that have by the Spirit mortified the deeds of the flesh led by the Holy Ghost, that the cry of the Father is strong in them, bringing them progressively to the point of adoption. Sonship is their journey. He said that the creature is waiting for these guys. Somebody say, creature is waiting. Not for everybody, for sons. And a little look at what we have said can show you the exact definition of the kind of people that are the sons that God is expecting. The creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Next verse. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, But by reason of him who had subjected the same hope, this is a whole thing that we might not be able to go into. Are you getting the point? The scripture is saying that because man fell, several things about creature, reduce the volume a little, several things about creature, their capacity and potential was reduced. Because allowing them to function in their full capacity will cause a great damage for God. Now, let me tell you what I mean. Did you notice that man fell and God sent him out of the Garden of Eden and put the cherub and the flaming sword? What did the scripture say about that? He said, lest man take of the other fruit and eat, and then he becomes like them. That means redemption is not possible. But it is not only that. The scripture said, for creature was made subject to vanity. That means the real potential of everything you have touched on earth has never been seen. And it is intentional. The one that did it is the one that created. Let me tell you why. Do you know the real potential of this keyboard? I hope you know you don't know. Are you seeing where I'm going now? He said, for creature was made subject to what? Vanity. So it is like the one that created downgraded the possibilities of everything. And I'm using this keyboard as an example, because if the full possibilities that the creator embedded in something like this is being manifest, and you hand it over to somebody like Satan, are you seeing it now? Oh, you think that thing Michael Jackson did is Satan that gave it to him originally? No, the Bible said that in the book of John, he said there is a light that lighteth everyone that comes upon the face of the earth. There is that light in every man. What Satan does is to hijack the light. So what God did is to downgrade the possibilities of everything. Are you getting it now? Imagine what Satan achieved through Michael Jackson. Then imagine if God allowed Michael with all his, to reach the full potential of that gift. Look at what, are you seeing where I'm going now? So God intentionally downgraded it. Downgraded many things, hoping that sons will come, because sons are the only ones that have the capacity to release the potentials of creature, and it will still be in context and in alignment with the purpose of the one that created it. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? Let me give you a simple example. 1 million in your hand, is it the same thing as 1 million in the hand of Davido? Are you seeing where we are going now? It means that sons are the only ones that have the capacity to actually harness the original purpose of everything that God has put in creature. If you take that thing that is in creature and put it in the hands of Satan or people that are under the government of Satan, and you allow his full potential to be manifest, my God, the little one God allowed, you see what Satan is doing with it. Just imagine if man has functioned in his full potential and we are under the government of Satan. Look at what they did at Babel, and that is a man that has been downgraded. Are you getting where I'm going now? So there is a kind of man that creature is waiting for. Next verse. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of what? Corruption. Into what? The glorious liberty of the sons of God. Next verse. Let's read this place together. 1, 2, ready, go. I want to ask, what is creature doing from the time of the fall till now? According to this scripture, what? I didn't hear you. Let's read it together so that you can be able to answer me. What is, let's read it. 1, 2, ready, go. I want to ask again, what is the whole creature doing from that time till now. Since that time man fell, creation, everything was groaning and traveling. They are groaning and traveling. And they are waiting for sons. Now the question I ask, if creation is groaning and traveling, waiting for sons, at what level do sons meet creation so that they can liberate creation? You can only liberate creation when you meet creation at its level of pain. The level of pain that creation is suffering since the fall is the level of groaning and traveling. You see, because the things that God is bringing through us as manifestation is actually a sign to a spiritual truth that is held up in the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't get it, maybe in the next 5 years you will. But for now, hear me first. Because several of the truths I'm communicating to you is not just to this set of people that is listening to me. It's not even just to this generation. There is a generation coming. I don't know how many years coming. And what we say will be the foundation of what they will need to bring down their own destiny and purpose in accordance with what God has planned. Listen, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and traveleth in pain together till now. Since the day that corruption entered, creation began to groan and travel in pain. The level of pain that creation is suffering, the level of pain is at that of traveling and what? Groaning. Are you getting it? Since that time till now. And I want to ask question. If the, according to the scripture, they said that creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Is it not true? So that they can enter into the glorious liberty of those sons. Is it not what the Bible said? But he now said that they have been groaning and traveling in pain till now. So if it is true that sons will liberate creation, at what level? At what measure of pain? At what measure of suffering? At what measure of price and sacrifice? You see it now. So when God comes in our midst and brings us to this measure of prayer in groanings and travail, it is not the end in itself, but it is a sign of what God has ordained as the instrument of liberating sons and creature at this time. Are you seeing it now? So the signs and the omen is in the skies, suggesting to us that the rising of sons will culminate in the liberation of the creation. And we don't know whether it's in this our time or in the time to come, but we know one thing, that the only way that creation will be liberated is for sons to rise. And when sons rise, they can only liberate creation at the level of pain that creation is suffering. And the testimony of the scripture is that the pain threshold of creation is what? Groaning. Can we find one more scripture there? Can he help us? 23. And not only they, but ourselves, what? Also. So that in case you think what I'm saying is out of place, he said, creation is groaning. We too, we are what? Groaning. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So the first burden of the Spirit is to groan inside of you. Because the Spirit himself is even trapped. Listen. Listen to the best way I will explain this thing. The Spirit is trapped. As long as the Spirit is inside of you, he can only express himself to the degree that you have allowed him. That means, in extension, the Holy Spirit cannot be trapped and all that. But you have to see what the scripture is saying here. He's saying, we are saying creation is trapped. Are you seeing it? We are saying man is trapped. And we are saying the Holy Spirit coming inside you has a purpose to liberate you. Unfortunately, he can only bring liberation to the point that we have yielded. And till that time, he also is trapped. So as soon as he enters inside of you, he begins to what? Groan. Are you getting it? Groan. It's not what I want. He begins to what? Groan. That groaning, leave him there, leave him. That groaning is a testimony. It is the instrument. It is the sign and omen. It is the pathway to liberation. Groaning and traveling is what? The pathway to liberation. That is the only way that corruption can be broken. The chain of corruption can be broken. So when God groans through us now, that is not the reality. When we pray, that's not the end, rather. It's the reality, but that's not the end. But it is a sign, it's a gateway. It is something written on the skies, so that any man that has a little bit of understanding can say, it seems as if the days that the scripture spoke about is now upon us. That means we should give ourselves to the things that have the capacity to liberate creation. And the Bible is saying the pen threshold at which creation can be liberated is that of groaning and travailing. Groan in me, Holy Ghost. 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 Banahakoski falahai. Drete, drete, drete. Groan in me, Holy Ghost. Creator is waiting. They are waiting for Anthony. They are waiting for Jasper. When you groan, things realign in your soul. And to the degree that your soul has been realigned by your spirit-inspired groanings, creation will begin to respond to us. When our number increases, creation will respond more. When we go deeper, creation will go deeper. There is a threshold of pain. Some of us have not known how deep the corruption that the fall brought has gone. You don't know how deep it went. It went so deep that the Bible said in the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Holy Spirit spoke. He said, I can no more strive with man, for he is but flesh. The day of the Spirit comes, and it comes with the rising of suns. And when they come, God will reveal afresh to them what it takes for liberation to come. Even we ourselves groan within us, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. You see, massive, this is a progressive work of God, culminating in God giving us the resurrected body. Watch in verse 24. For we are saved by hope. Are you getting the point? So you, when God saved you, you want to go to heaven. But the person that saved you for a hope in his own side and in your own side too. But hope that is seen is not hope. That means whatever is the hope of the person that saved you is not yet seen. And whatever is your hope is not yet here. But it is still valid. He said, if we have already seen it. If somebody comes and tell you that everything we are looking for is already here, then there is no more hope. Why don't he yet hope for? 25. For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with what? Patience hope for it. This same word is the word that Jesus used in the book of Luke chapter 18, 1-8. And I told you people subsequently that several of the utterances of Jesus captures many realms. When Jesus speaks, he captures what has happened. It captures what is happening, and it captures what will yet happen. Are you getting the point? So you will see that many times that Jesus spoke, and he spoke about patience and faith. He has nothing to do with getting cars. It has everything to do with liberating creation. There is a long patience it takes, tarrying in the place of the pain it takes. He said, look at it now. Oh, no. Give me Romans. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience what? Hope for it. There is a work that God is working in us. And it takes a lot of pain for God to work it. The Holy Spirit is in pain. Creation is in pain. So that is why we too, we are what? In pain. Next verse. Are you seeing it now? This verse 26 is not original. You cannot understand verse 26 until you start from previous verses. Actually, this verse 26 is all I want to read. 26 and 27. But for me to read it, I need to lay a proper foundation. That the foundation of verse 26 did not start in Romans chapter 8. The foundation of this verse 26 did not start in New Testament. The foundation of verse 26 started in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. That's where verse 26 started. So we can likewise just go like this. Read Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. Cut it off and start reading Romans chapter 8. Are you getting the point? Romans chapter 8 verse 20. That's, you read Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Then stop. The next place you start is where? Romans chapter 8 verse 20. You will now understand. So after the man has made an argument from verse 20 to verse 25, he said, likewise. What is likewise? He said, in the same manner. Somebody say, in the same manner. That is what likewise means. In what manner? In the manner that the earth is groaning. Is it not true? In the manner that men are groaning. In the same manner. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Because it is not actually possible for you to enter this reality within this frame that you have retained in this mortal and dying world. For we know not what we should pray for, as what we ought. So it seems as if groaning and traveling is directly related to prayer. But the Spirit himself, the reason why they said itself is because the translators looked at it. The word Spirit here is pneuma. And when you check pneuma in the original language, it is not genderized. And because of that, they now kept it as if it is something that is not a person. But the right thing to say here is, the Spirit himself, what? Maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now watch. Because some people read this place and they said it's the Holy Spirit praying. No, you are the one praying. The Bible has already said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. First of all, he said, likewise, the Spirit what? Helps you. The Spirit doesn't walk in limbo. The Bible said, I will send you another comforter. That helper, he's coming. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is only at work in the life of the people that is willing to allow him to work. He doesn't work in limbo. Should I tell you something? Even if the Holy Spirit wants to come in a generation, if there are no people that rise and partner him, his work will be hanging. This is what he said. Likewise, the Spirit also helps whose infirmity? Whose infirmity? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. So the incapacities that bedevil us in the place of prayer is there because of the infirmities that we retain in our person. And the advent of the Holy Spirit is to succor us in the place of that infirmities. Are you getting the point? He said the way the Holy Spirit does this thing is to what? Make intercessions for us. With what? Groanings. Remember where we read that the creation is crying. Everybody is crying. And the only way to meet creation is to meet it at the level of his pain. And the scripture described to us that the level of the pain that the creation is suffering is that of what? Groaning and what? Travailing. Now, when we want to liberate creation, we found out that we are riddled with so much infirmities that we cannot hit creation at its energy level. There are so many infirmities in us that we cannot reach that point. Then comes the Holy Spirit. Because he's the only one that can travel deep. He's the only one that can groan. There is a groaning spirit within me. Oh. There is a praying spirit within me. Oh. Listen to me. Since man fell, we are forming United Nations, UNICEF. All kinds of things have been formed to see if we can succor the corruption, the groaning. Elections, all kinds of things is happening. The reason why everybody is crying is because you can look at Nigeria and know that Nigeria is groaning, traveling. He wants to be liberated. And the Spirit is saying, we are the bodies, we are the bodies. One look at this nation, one look at Africa, you will know that Africa has come to the point where they are no more willing to continue the way things are. But the challenge is this: the point of pain of creation, the point of pain of Nigeria and Africa is at the level of groaning. Are you getting it? And the scripture says that Africa is waiting for the manifestation of songs. Unfortunately, you can only meet creation at the point of his pain. And the point of pain of the creation, according to the testimony of this scripture, is that of groaning and traveling. Are you getting the point? And the Bible says, because we are riddled with infirmities, our best attempt at ministry, at government, politics, economies, cannot bring us to the point where we can truly solve the challenge of nature. Or what do you call it? Somebody enters into power, collects 100 billion, collects 200. You will think it is for him to take care of himself. He will use it and rig election. And what are you looking for? 100 generations. Is creation groaning? We can't help ourselves. We need the Holy Ghost. Pray for 1 minute. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me. Help me. Help me to travel where the pain of my family is. Give me the grace to grow so that I can liberate them. Help me to travel where the pain of my territory is so that I can liberate them. Help me to travel. If you don't hit the pain threshold of the people that God sent you to, you cannot hit the power that will liberate them. There is a pain threshold that it takes to break through, to bring liberation to people. Help that sister. Something is happening. If you are listening to me online, something is happening. A new season, a new chapter. There is an announcement in the spirit. The cherubs are here. And even the archangels of God, they have their shofar in their mouth. And they are sounding it loud. It is an alarm of a new season. Men are brought into labors. Labors. Where is Anthony?
I pray.
Yeah, not. There is a praying spirit within me, yo.
I pray.
Yeah, not. Adam, pray.
Pray for 2 minutes.
I pray.
Yeah, not. Adam, pray.
I pray.
Yeah, not. Adam, pray.
There is a praying spirit within me, yo.
I grow,
hear not I that grow.
I grow,
hear not I that grow.
There is a groaning spirit within me, oh.
I'm serious, Peter Kapoor. I pain, only then shall deliverance come.
allow the Holy Ghost. You are still too strong. Just tell him, grow through me, and then something will come. Aha, 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 aha. You can't clone and be normal. Africa needs our growth. Nigeria needs our growth. The world needs our growth. Help me. Your family needs it.
There is a growing spirit within me. There is a growing spirit within me. You can be seated. Can be seated. There is a prayer spirit within me, Lord. Jesus. There is a growing spirit within me. In Jesus' name, listen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Join me in 5 minutes. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. I've told you people repeatedly or formally that it is deliberate and intentional. Of course, you should know there is nothing like overstatement in the scripture. So anytime the word of God brings this kind of words, you should consider it. As a matter of fact, the scripture said, consider. Consider who? The apostle and high priest of what? Our profession, Jesus Christ. Listen, let me put it to you this way. He's trying to say, consider the apostolicity of the person of Jesus Christ, one, and then consider the priestliness. It is simple. I think I've explained to you people, but I will do so one more time. So he's trying to say, consider the apostle and the high priest of our calling. Listen, this is, in this context now, this is not a positional thing. I know there are positions or whatever. This is not the positional one. This is functional. Are you getting it now? The scripture is saying, consider the apostolic functions. And of course, when you come into the apostolic functions of the person of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus Christ, there are many things he brings in view. One of it is, there is always an apostolic perspective. And the apostolic perspective is eternity. What did I say? The apostolic perspective is what? Eternity. You see, because
The message of the apostolic cannot make meaning to you until it is taken out of time and balanced up in the context of eternity. Watch, because if we rate the activities that is found within an apostolic circle with the thermometers, with the readings, with the meters of the things that is found in the natural, you will find out that there are many things that we say is not needed. For example, why do you need to be coming every day? Meanwhile, one of the component part of the apostolic culture is that they are meeting what? Every day. You will now see that whatever it is what is their guiding factor, is a different perspective. And whatever perspective it is not shaped from time. Is it not true? It's not a temporal thing. It is shaped from eternity and it is eternal. Now, let me tell you something. Whether it is your calling, whether it is your ministry, whether it is your gift, your destiny, whatever it is, its manifestation within time and on this earth is just a small fragment. Listen, did you hear what I said? Whatever you are able to do about your destiny in the 80 years you lived upon this earth is only a fragment of what is actually your destiny. Are you seeing where I'm looking at now? Apostolicity grants you the overall view of what your destiny actually is. That means even though you are in time, your labors into your destiny is not guided by time-based factors. You are looking from an eternal perspective. So if I pray for 100 hours and I did not see the manifestation till I died, is it wasted? Are you seeing it now? Apostolicity grants you that perspective, that the investment you made within this frame, even when you leave this earth and you go into another, all those investments is consistent. The transformation in your soul is still what? Consistent. The prayer investment is still what? Consistent. What of your priesthood? Are you seeing it now? That is why he said, consider Christ Jesus in two dimensions. His apostolic functions and expression and perspective, generally called apostolicity, or you consider him in his priestliness. This is, for we, listen to me now, the priestly, high priestly ministry of Jesus has nothing to do with it. Are you now seeing it now? Now, it means that what I mean by has nothing to do with it is that it's not as if it is not expressed on it, but its function is not tied to this earth realm. As a matter of fact, the full activation of his high priestly ministry was at resurrection. Are you seeing it now? That is where it is from that office that he began to release several functions. And the reason why I'm telling you this thing is the reason why we started. If God will raise sons and you will partner him in what he's doing, then you have to understand that the project of sonship is not a project of time. Even though the investment that will bring us into sonship, that the instruments and raw material is in time. Somebody say is in time. But it is not a project of time. According to the scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it is God that ordained in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see verse 4, 5, 6. It is God that ordained that in the fullness of time, he will begin to work in a different way. He will sum everything up in Christ. Are you getting the point? And according to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, there is a reason why, first of all, God created everything by Christ. Then he ordained that he will sum up everything in Christ. And according to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, there is a reason why God did it this way. What are the two things that God did without your knowledge, without your involvement? What are the two things he ordained to do? And these things he ordained to do is before the foundation of this world, before he started creating anything or any man. What are the two things? Number one is what? You see it? Sum of everything in Christ. The second one is what? Created everything by Christ. You have still not written it. I will ask you again. Sister Doris. Kesia Fibo. Chinyer. Ah. For it became him. Are you seeing it? Okay, right. Watch. The scripture said, for it became him. For whom are what? All things. By whom are what? All things. It has to be him. In bringing what? Many sons unto glory. And let's leave the rest for now. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start good. According as he has chosen us, where? In him. Who is the him? We have said it repeatedly. Who is the him? Okay. When did he choose us in him? Okay. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Next verse. Next verse. Having predestined us. Are you seeing where we are going? All this project. Are you with me? I'm telling you, all this project that God is organizing, when is it happening? Are you seeing it now? So whatever is happening here is before the foundation. It is a realm before you even appeared. Are you getting the point? So, and all this thing that he is doing, and all this thing that he planned to, okay, all this thing that he planned to do that that he is doing and that he will do, where did he do it? Huh? Correct. I feel like giving all of you a new 1,000 naira note. It's like dollar these days. All these things that Iconaha Jagadaga Jagadaga Daga. So all these things that God is planning to do, the ones he has done and the ones he will do, all of them are where? In Christ. And that is what the scripture is trying to say in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. It became of him. So of him is that is the things that God wants to do, that he's doing, that he wants to do. And it is necessary that it became of him because it is through him that all things is made. For example, let me tell you one of the things that God ordained to do before the foundation of this world. Show me Ephesians. Show me Ephesians. Having predestined us unto the adoption of, you better write his sons, by whom? Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Next verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Man, one of these days, I think I've taught you people the difference between the glory of his grace and the riches of his grace, right? Next verse, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, the according to the rich, all this redemption through his blood, forgiveness of the through is to achieve that first one. Are you getting it? The reason why God is going to this extent is to make sure that his original idea is not truncated. His original idea and his original purpose is the guiding factor that controls all of his investment. So that means the economy of God is running towards his purpose. If you enter into the revelation of the purpose of God, that means God will invest in you so much grace. Because the grace of God is a type of God's economy. Because it is the grace of God that runs many of his agenda. Is it not so? That means that is the plan, what God has set aside as a system, as a resource to power his project. That is his economy. The economy of this nation, do you know that there are many in... Okay, let me use a country that is working. If you go to US now, do you know several companies will not tell you what they are going to do in the year until the US releases their budget. Is it not true? As soon as they release their budget, do some things, both their currency, their stock market, many things will be affected. You can from the budget know that the US wants to invest a lot in education this year. So your company will diversify into what? The educational sector. Now, if you notice that 70% of the budget is invested in defense, and you want to make a lot of money this year, wisdom should tell you to adjust your readings towards defense-related businesses. Is it not true? That is how heaven functions. If you enter into the revelation of what God wants to do in the context of his purpose. What is he trying to achieve in the end of the time? Watch. If you enter there, that means the administration will capture you in their economy. It will seem as if you are the only one existing. No. You are just able to capture where the economy of God is driving at. And that place is driving at is always towards the achievement of the purpose of God. Are you getting the point? So it means that his purpose guides his economy. What we want to achieve, it is because of what we want to achieve that we apportion resources to achieve it. The dividing of resources to achieve that purpose is what is called the economy. So the economy of grace is how God has apportioned grace, gifts, authority within the kingdom to achieve a particular or a general purpose. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
If you are not with me, you might have to listen to it 3 times after this service. Even I do so. I listened to yesterday's one. Next verse. Wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, what? The mystery of his will. So this mystery of his will is the major thing now. But he said he has made unto us the mystery of his will. You see it? According to his good pleasure, which he had purposed where? In himself. Will, pleasure, purpose. Next verse. Okay, let's read this together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's start from verse 9 and read 9 and 10. Give us verse 9. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's continue. Are you seeing it? According, continue. Then you now see a colon. Is it not true? That means whatever follows should be the statement of the mystery of what? That way. So let's hear it. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it. 1, 2, ready, go. You see how we started from the book of Romans chapter 8. I started talking about things and creation, waiting for sons to manifest. Now, you will now understand why we mention also the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. He said, it became of him of whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. It became of him. Do you know the reason why? John chapter 1. Show me John chapter 1. John chapter 1. There is no other person that he would have been and we wouldn't have found error. We would have stumbled and made mistake many times. Because the fullness of what God wants to do can never be found anywhere else. But where? In Christ. The fullness of the resources that can run his agenda cannot be found anywhere else. But where? In Christ. The pattern of what God wants to do can never be found anywhere else. But where? In Christ. Christ in you is the hope of ever getting the glory. Is the hope. Now watch. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? God. Next verse. The same was in the beginning with God. Next verse. Okay, let's read this verse 3 together. 1, 2, ready, go. In case you are checking who this person is, let's see Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Next verse. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by whom? So, who is this person now? Somebody said the Son. Watch. Whom he had appointed heir of all things. By, let's read this last phrase. 1, 2, ready, go. So, the person through whom God made the world is the who? The Son. And according to the book of John chapter 1 verse 3, that the Son is also what? The Word. Are you getting where I'm going? So, if all things, when we mean all things, we mean all things. In fact, according to the scripture, I've forgotten the exact place in the scripture, including the ages, we are made by him. It is not just things, it's not just creation, including the aeons, we are crafted by him. When we leave this age, enter another one, it is still the expanse of Christ. His boundaries defines everything that we ever experience in every aeon of God. Are you getting it? So it became important that God will craft his project in the dispensation of Christ times, holding Christ as the center and focus. Because it is by him that all things means all things, including Satan, including everything. When God spoke, it became. When you want to walk, you move your chair. When God wants to walk, he spoke, because his word is not a thing. His word is not necessarily to communicate. His word is a person. He crafts things into being. So when Christ, the Bible said, because of the project of God, when Christ comes and stands in the end of the time, everything will now be gathered to him. That means the project of God in the end of the time is to put Christ at center. And then everything that has a semblance of Christ will be, by a spiritual electromagnetic pool, will be gathered to him. Are you seeing it now? That means the texture to measure your stature in the kingdom now will be the measure of the Christ that is found in you. That is why the scripture said in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he said, till we all come to the fullness of what? The stature of who? I didn't hear you. Of who? Remember that the scripture said it became of him of whom are what? All things. By whom are what? All things. In doing what? In doing what? So that means that there is a purpose in the heart of God, so that the things he patterned in Christ, invested in Christ, modeled in Christ, invested in Christ, that from him he can draw. And then if by any means Anthony allows him, he will keep filling him with those several dimensions, until another son will emerge. It takes apostolicity to see the project of God that way. If not, we have a church full of people praying for their need. We come into the church and we give 10 testimonies. None of them has to do with the transformation in the soul of men. We give the thank God for car, thank God for the things he did for you. But the real testimony is that I can't pray yesterday, today I can pray. I came here as a sinner, now the sin has died. That's the real testimony. I came here a weak man, not knowing my left and right. But inside of me, I can feel the stature of God rising in me. I came here afraid, I went back. The things I was afraid of is already afraid of me. I can feel the tokens of the fire of God burning in my belly. The demons that used to oppress me is now, I'm now oppressing them, because the scripture also said in the book of Ephesians, he said, show me Ephesians chapter 2. Oh God, I want to show you something. If you're with me so far, say amen. If you're not with me, say I will listen to it after this service. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me show you from verse 7. Chapter 3 from verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Next verse. And to make all men see. Paul is a great man. By what grace do you make all men see? That means he has not achieved his ministry until all men, at least in the quota that is granted to him, captured in the ministry to the Gentiles, until all of them what? See. It also means that it is in vain that a Gentile is trying to see light in the gospel if he doesn't encounter the ministry of Paul. So there are people running in circles. Meanwhile, God has apportioned grace. He said, according to the gift of the grace of God that he has given to me to execute my ministry, testified by the effectual working of his power. It is in vain you are asking. You have seen the effectual effectual effectiveness of the working of God's power in a man's life. And that is a testimony of the grace that God has given to him to make all men see. That means if you cut yourself off from such ministries, it means that you are cutting yourself off from the economy of the grace that God has invested in their life. That's Paul. That's what Paul is saying. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. If I finish today, good. If I don't, tomorrow I continue. My topic today is the fellowship of Christ. But the reason why I have to say it now is because I've just mentioned something that is in it. There are three realms of union that we have with Christ. But let me finish this scripture. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by what? Are you seeing it? You see wisdom. You see wisdom. You see, God knows where he's going, you know, but he just created all things by Jesus and then kept quiet. Because you know that a day will come, all things will gravitate back to Christ. So he intentionally created all things by Christ. And Satan is busy looking for me. Why will he find me? I'm in Christ. The day God will fail is the day his project in Christ failed. And as long as Satan did not succeed in doing anything to Jesus Christ, even when he appeared upon the face of the earth, he cannot defeat me. My anchor is on him. My anchor. My anchor. Where is your anchor? Which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Next verse. Now, this is where I'm going. To the intent that now, somebody said that now. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church. What? The manifold wisdom. The reason why I said it is this. The real testimony is that you went back. There are several seasons that Satan is expecting some sicknesses to strike you down. But you decided to grow beyond it. There are two ways that you can be free from the oppression of Satan. It's either we are in a service, an anointing come by and then you become free. Or you become free according to the testimony of the book of Isaiah. He said, and the yoke was destroyed because of what? The anointing. You will come and tell me, is it not the same anointing? No. You need to just use another translation. What the scripture meant there is that the yoke was destroyed because of the fatness. Somebody say fatness. This is what it means. Huh? This is what it means. You are wearing something on the hand. Maybe his own. Are you sure it will break? You are wearing something. All these bangles. Bring your own. Omo. Can you see this? Huh? The scripture said the yoke. Let's assume this is the yoke. Are you getting the point? This is what? Who am I going to use? Come, let me use it. And it shall come to pass. Why? And it shall come to pass. Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off their shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Can you get another translation so that they can see what I mean very well? Watch, bring out your two hands. Can you see him? Can you see him? No, one of your hands. Sorry. This is yoke. Huh? You see this yoke entering? And he entered. There are two ways that he can be free. When we come to a deliverance service, I will look at this thing like this. If I draw it, will it tear? This is one way to tear it. Unfortunately, either I tear it or I remove it. Let's assume we come to this service and I remove it. Are you not free now? Tomorrow, I now come. And do you like one? Now, one guy meet him on the again now, go secondary school those days. Those days, we used to buy in Duku Chidera and Duku. My God. So when the guy, they call him, is he not gentle? Have you heard of gentle? The guy just knocked me up. boom, on the face, blood everywhere. He collected all my money. Huh? There are some demons bigger than you from your father's house. Now, for now. They will just knock you on the head. As you're doing like this, they will say, to work, bring out your hand. You say, yes, yes. They will now put it back. This, the thing the man of God removed, you went back, they what? Put it back. I'm telling you a fact. Somebody came for a healing service, and the man of God prayed, the ear opened, went back, became deaf again. Came back tomorrow, the man of God prayed again, he was healed. Came back tomorrow, went back, the thing closed. Came back second day, the man of God, it was on the third day, the man of God now said, there is something where you are coming from that is putting this thing back on you. Watch. Are you with me? Okay, look at it. ASV. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall depart from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed by the reason of what? Watch. Bring out your two hands now. Can you see? Are you seeing this now? You see that this thing is already under pressure. Did he need to force it? No. He just grew what? Bigger. Keep putting your hands inside it. Bring out your hands. Stretch your hands. Stretch your hands. Keep it that way. Sister, I might spoil this. Oh. Watch. Can you see it? His hand is growing fatter. Is he not growing fatter? Watch. He didn't do anything. He's. There are two ways to be free. Say, God, make me fat in the spirit. Pray for the next 1 minute. Pray for the next 1 minute. You will even forget when your troubles has gone. The things that was your prayer point was, they are no more prayer point. They are growth points. If you grow, they go. Listen, there are two centralities in the scripture. Number one is the you can be seated, the centrality of the cross, and the second one is the centrality of priesthood. There are two centralities, and the reason why we mention this centrality is because centrality means that there is really nothing God can achieve without it passing through the cross in the New Testament, and there is nothing God can achieve in the New Testament without it passing through priesthood. Priesthood is God's governing factor. Now listen, if you look at the picture that is painted in the book of Hebrews, I've said it before, there is a contrast and a comparison between number one, two covenants, and number two, two priesthood. What did I say? Number one, two covenants. Number two, two priesthood. That is what is in contention. Now, the scripture said clearly that the old covenant is not bad because what is contained in it is bad. According to the book of Hebrews, the old covenant was done away with for one major reason, because it could no more serve the purpose for which it was raised. That means God is a purpose-driven God. If the purpose in his heart can no more be achieved, then he will dismiss, he will disembark, he will abandon the method that he's using. So God thought and said, is it possible for me to achieve my agenda via the old covenant and engaging the old priesthood? Are you getting the point? The old priesthood that is represented in the Aaronic order. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. But we found out several times that including Moses himself that went to the mountain to bring the law, broke it. It has not landed. He has what? Broken it. See, so the scripture told us in the book of Romans that the law is weak, mostly because it is given to men where? In the flesh. It means it cannot produce the result. Listen to it. The reason why God brought the law is so that it can reveal his righteous standard. If the law has done its work well, according to the scripture, It can only serve for one purpose. And even till today, the law has its purpose. And the purpose of the law is to serve as a schoolmaster, to bring us to the realization of the standard of God. And the standard of God is captured in his righteousness. And the scripture made us to understand that the revelation of the righteousness of God is in the gospel, revealed from faith to faith. If you are with me so far, say amen. Now, what it means is that in the gospel, God is able to build his nature, because his nature is represented in that righteousness. Can you follow me now? That means the intention of God in revealing the priesthood, that is, in fact, in ever revealing priesthood at all, is not for people to do anything for him. I can prove it to you. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, somebody said, for the law. Having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things. Are you getting the point? There is something God wants to do. The law can only capture the image. The reality is missing. The law can only come and tell you, pray, pray. But the reality of prayer is not pray, pray. The reality of prayer is burdens. When a burden comes in a man's heart, you don't tell him to pray. He can last all night. Are you getting the point? So the law will come and tell you, pray. You need to pray. If you don't pray, you die. But you are telling a man in the flesh, he can't keep it. So the law can only reveal to us shadow. The reality is missing. Can never with the same sacrifice. Remember that the duty of a priest is to bring gifts and sacrifices according to what is captured in the demands of the Aaronic priesthood. It is almost still the same in all priesthood, but in the case of Christ, it is done only once. So the scripture said in the end of time, the Christ entered once and for all into the holiest of all with his blood, by his blood. Watch. Okay. Which they offer continually, make them that draw near. What is wrong with this TV? Somebody fix it, please. Somebody help me and fix the TV. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, Kai. Not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices. Okay, good. Can never with the same sacrifices, year by year, which they offer continually. If your Bible is your own, underline the word perfect. I keep telling you people about this word perfect. Perfect can also represent maturity. Perfect is the full measure of God's work that is already captured in the heart of a person, or in a team, or in a dispensation. The perfection of God's work, the beauty, the epitome of God's work is Christ. And what God did, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, is that he began to draw from his reference, that is Christ, and begin to minister to all of us. Please return back to 10. Verse 2. Else would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having been once cleansed, would have had no more consciousness of sin. Next verse. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made of sins. Year by what? Year. Next verse. For it is impossible that the blood... Somebody say it is impossible. That the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Next verse. Wherefore, when he... Who is he? Are you seeing it? You might have to read chapter 9 to see that it's one flow of thought. Huh? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, what? Sacrifices and what? Offer. So I wanted to prove to you, that what God needs is not the activities of priesthood. It doesn't matter to him. Listen to me. I've taught you people that there are two dimensions of priesthood. There is the priesthood of services, and there is the priesthood of becoming. What did I say? Priesthood of services. Priesthood of becoming. Priesthood of what? Services. Where you come, you serve God, you are a servant, you do ministry. Beyond doing ministry and everything, one thing is superior in the heart of God, and that is us becoming whom he intended us to become. That is even more important. Listen, Because ministry will end on this earth. Huh? Several things. Healing the sick. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that in that new Jerusalem that there is no darkness and there is no what? Sickness. So your healing anointing is not useful there. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
But the shape of Christ you retain in your soul will be an eternal investment. Will be an eternal resource that you have. The stature you retain, the principalities you conquered will still be testifying of the victories you won in the spirit. When they read the books of the words of God, your name will be there. When ranking men appear before the throne, oh, they will look, they will call your name. Edu, you are there. I don't know about you. Stop saying I'm a pastor, I'm a man. I'm not. I'm a guy like you. We are all pressing together. The way I'm praying, am I praying as a man that have arrived? The way I'm looking at innocent, he has arrived. Huh? But me, I'm a laborer. I'm crying for grace all the time. I want you to pray one more prayer. Tomorrow we continue. Tell God to take your gaze off everything that is temporal and set it on things that is eternal. Tell him by the revelation of the Spirit that he should bring your consciousness on those little matters that counts in eternity. Several of the times our eyes will not be there. And I need to tell you that eternal things are not necessarily in the realm of the spirit. They are physical things. They are things, some of them we do day to day. Your several and consistent investment in them makes you a heavy and a rich man in the spirit. Pray in 1 minute. It doesn't end on this earth. This is just the beginning. Greatness is coming. Greatness is calling. Not just in this age, even in the age to come. Wise men invest in time with an eye on eternity. Jesus, mighty. Our morning sessions have ended today. We'll start again next week, Tuesday. So tomorrow we meet again by 5 p.m. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. You can cast your seed, your offering.
We believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Dechukwu, with unlimited access to life-transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.